BayLifeRadio.com. Who's this?
This is Fingers from the DBGs. What's poppin'?
Hey, what's happening, man? How you doing, man? Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. I just want to correct you before we get back on the air. It's not DPG, it's DB. Like, boy, DBG.
Ah, okay, okay. So that's my fault, y'all. I said it wrong. You know, I got an F in English class anyway. Yes, it's DBGs, y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'll tell you the story behind that name, you know, as we get in the interview and everything. It's all good.
For sure. Well, I mean, before we get into it, I want to say again, thank you for calling in. Much love for spending a few moments with the Bay Life family. Let them know who you are from the DBGs.
I'm Fingers. I'm the only one with the actual two fingers. I was just one third of three-member group. I tried to get the other fellas on, but they were unavailable for this interview, but they left it up to me to represent them well, so I believe I could do that.
That's what's up. So what's up with the DBGs, man? Give us a little history, man, what y'all been doing and how you been holding it down.
Well, as you said, we a group from Detroit. Back in 91, 92, we got discovered from MC Hammer's label, Busted Records. There was a subsidiary at the Capitol Records at the time. And we did it the old school way. We put together a demo, and our demo got heard, and we got called. You know, life is different in the music industry now from the way it was back in the early 90s, but we had an opportunity to take, you know, get a shot to expose our musical abilities on a national level. And we took that shot, and we had a semi-success. I think we had a great success as far as experience and exposure, you know. So it came off pretty cool, man. I'm very thankful, especially to the Bay Area, because the Bay Area was the one who helped to birth the exposure of the DBGs from its conception. So I'm thankful, man, and all of us are.
For sure, that's what's up. Well, the Bay got love for Detroit. For sure. That's what's up, man. And so what's been going on since then? You said 91. You know the game changed a lot in 91, man.
Absolutely. Since then, you know, all of us have families, you know, we get older, but we still do music. I think we haven't been doing anything together because of just conflicting schedules or what have you. You know, once you get older, you get a family, your responsibilities change. Back then, we was 19, 21, and all that stuff with nothing, no responsibility but ourselves, you know what I'm saying? But now, you know, with children, wives, and all that good stuff, and taxes and house notes.
right. Speak on the real part of it.
When music ain't necessarily your main source of income, you got to go in other directions to make sure you keep your lifestyle up. And that's what's up. But I've still been blessed and able to go and get into a studio and record stuff lately. I do a lot of features on a lot of younger artists. I do a lot of consultation. One of the members is in the real estate real heavy. Another one is in the trucking industry. So, but we still talk to each other. We still have that connection as brothers. And anytime we get together, that nucleus never dies. We always can come together and put together magic in the studio, man. And that's what I appreciate about our conglomerate, man. That's what's up.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Hey, you touched on something earlier. You said the old school way, you had to put together a demo. Man, hey, is any crazy how these artists now, I wonder if they even know about having to put together a demo to submit.
No, I don't think so, because the internet has brought to life new avenues to where exposure is more freely available. So record companies and their leverage on the new artists has diminished tremendously, because now somebody in France or Japan or England can be rocking out to your stuff via what they heard on SoundCloud or something like that. versus your only avenue of access to the public back when we started was through the record labels and radio stations, and you know, so it was a lot more red tape back then than it is now. So that's good for the artist that's coming out now.
Right. That's what's up, man. So you got some new music coming out now?
Actually, yeah, I'm doing a solo project and going by the name of Tony Two Fingers, which is the most realest name that I could have ever adopted, because even when I was in the group and they called me Fingers, it really didn't explain who I was as an individual until you got an opportunity to see me, shake my hand, have a conversation. Now the name Tony Two Fingers automatically piques an interest in not only my physical appearance, but also on the story behind the man behind the fingers, you know what I'm saying? So I'm doing a project called Fingernopoly, which, you know, it's not just about money. It's about monopolizing your own destiny, you know, monopolizing the area of your community, monopolizing the love in your family, monopolizing everything from a leveraging point that's positive for a full circle experience. I know that was a whole lot of words. I hope I didn't miss anybody. But yeah, long story short, I'm making new music. It'll be coming soon. I'll make sure I'll reach out to you guys to be one of the first people to get a chance to hear it.
That's what's up. It was supposed to be a lot of words. I would have expected nothing less from a lyricist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like my old school, I call my old school legendary teacher Rakim. He said, "Big words do nothing but confuse and move." So depending on your audience, you want to speak to the audience that you're speaking to, and not speak over them.
That's right.
So I want to connect. And one of the members in the group gave me a good compliment a while. He said, "I know how to make the simplest words make the biggest impact." So that's a skill that every artist should adapt. Communicate with the fewest and simplest words, but still make a big impact.
Right. So tell me, man, how did you get into music? How did y'all put the group together, Two Fingers?
Well, one of the members is my brother, and the one who started the group was a childhood friend that I've been knowing since the age of 10 years old. It started the old-fashioned way. He was making a record, and then he got a manager who wanted to take it on a national level, and he wanted to do it with the group. Originally, the DBGs was supposed to be a conglomerate of different groups from Detroit, and they were going to be called. We were all going to be called like a Wu-Tang Clan. We were going to be called the Detroit Band of Gangsters. But when we tried to shop that idea through the national labels, nobody wasn't biting for that. So then the manager at the time of the group decided to condense that idea down to maybe three or four members of a group and just make it one group instead of a collective of groups. The only people that lasted in that evaluation was three of us, and that's me, my brother, and my partner Riddler, who was the one who actually put the group together. And once we put the group together, because we always had the rapping skills. Matter of fact, Riddler had already did a local 12-inch album back in 89, 88. So I got inspired to want to do something musically professionally by just seeing what he did. So I just hung around him. And then, of course, my brother was always with me. So we, you know, it kind of just happened that way, to where we were ending up under his wing, so to speak. When he put the group together, we were the ones that were the most loyal to the whole idea. So we were the ones who was able to take the ride on a national trip and get our feet wet in that game, man. And I'm appreciative of Riddler. So big up to Riddler if you're listening, my brother.
For sure. Shouts out to Riddler. Hey, man, tell me something, though. How did y'all meet Hammer?
Oh, it was an interesting story. This is the story that I got, which I'm pretty sure other people will say other things. As the story is told, our demo tape was being shopped around to many different labels. Capitol Records happened to have our demo tape, which the vice president of Capitol Records was playing our demo tape in his office at a high volume. And at that time, Hammer had an office in Capitol Records because he had a label called Busted Records. So from what the story that I remember is Hammer was in his office and he heard the music that the person was playing in the next office and went over there and said, I need to meet them guys. Who are those guys? So then, of course, you know, I wasn't really in the background, but I heard that Hammer reached out to our management at the time and wanted to set up a meeting. And, you know, what's tripped out is Hammer was already on tour with the Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him tour. So he was coming to Detroit anyway, but we had had previous meetings. And he, long story short, he flew us out to California, did an initial meeting and greet with us, let us record a song in his studios. And then the deal was being formulated from that point. And once we got signed to the deal, we went back home to Detroit. And it was kind of like a waiting game. From my perspective, it was a waiting game. And Hammer had came to Detroit on tour. And then we heard from our management that we was going to open up for Hammer at his show when he got to Detroit. And that's kind of how we really got, you know, Hammer's real initial meeting of us was actually after we performed on stage in Detroit. Because before then, it was like, wow, other liaisons, people, you know, that would meet us and say what Hammer said. But from that point on, when we actually met Hammer from after performing at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, opening up for him, we got to meet him face to face, shake his hand, and we was already in a business relationship with him at that time. So, I mean, a lot of how the background of how we got when Hammer was hidden to all of us as artists. You know, back then, artists was just artists.
Right.
We let our handlers handle all the details.
Yeah.
We get the phone calls show up and we do our thing and we keep it moving. So right. It wasn't like we called the record label or we wasn't like we had, you know, audition for Hammer. It was all background stuff that happened. By the time we met Hammer, the deal was already made.
That's what's up. And a definitely blessing. You know what I'm saying? Midwest, West Coast connection. Uh-huh. I'm loving it. So, man, tell me this, Two Fingers. What are you seeing in the music game right now? You seeing something you liking? You know what I'm saying? I like to keep it positive. I don't want to focus on the whack shit. You know what I'm saying? But what you seeing out there, man?
Well, my favorite artists, I got two favorite artists. One you haven't heard of and one you know very well. One of my favorite artists is Joaquin the Hooligan. I think that he's an up-and-coming artist in Detroit that's making his... But I like his work ethic. That's what I like about him. He gives me hope that there's still integrity in hip-hop.
And you said, what's his name? Joaquin the Hooligan?
That's correct. Yeah, he is. Yeah, if you look him up on JoaquinTheHooligan.com, you'll see him, his material, his work, and what he does. He's a hard worker in this local scene in Detroit. And I just feel like on a national stage, he'll do the same thing. Outside of Joaquin the Hooligan, my favorite artist on a national level at this time is J. Cole.
Ooh, yeah, J. Cole hot.
Yeah, so other than that, what I see in the game is I see a lot of potential. I see people, you know, music from my perspective has went through different phases. And you get the best, unfortunately, you get the best music when the world suffers the most.
Real talk.
So I feel like after this coronavirus and this political season that we're going through, you're going to hear some real music that's going to be the soundtrack of what we went through. But when everybody, you know, what I don't like to see, and I'm not going to call it whack shit, I'll just call it one dimensional. When you see every rapper out there that's got a whole bunch of money, living in mansions, driving and living good, and you, there's no work ethic to show how it's gotten and how it's kept. It gives people a false sense of success. And so with the hip hop that I came from, you seen the grind. You know, hip hop for me, or rap for me, was supposed to be a voice for the voiceless.
Right.
But now it seems like it's just a voice for the rich.
Come on, man. You speaking on it.
So, especially with my project, Thingonopoly, I want to say some things that I think need to be said in this atmosphere. That it ain't all rosy and diamonds and champagne. There's people out here that's actually, you know, trying to keep their lights on. They don't got no food in the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? So we got to speak for the people who ain't got a voice no more, or else hip hop is gonna be just another fad.
Real spit, man. Wise words. You know what I'm saying? And I'm hoping that the youth that is listening, that is in the music, take heed to that, man. Because look, it just came from another voice. I like hearing, you know, ideas that we talk about, and then it's like it's mixed up in another version of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Stick to the work ethics. You know what I'm saying? I like how you focused on that. You know what I'm saying? I was going, you actually, what you did was you answered my next question, which was, because we always deal with a lot of up and coming, you know, artists in the music, and some of them stick around, but a lot of them, they come in, you know, you see them that first year, maybe that second year, that third year, you wondering where they at, you know what I mean? I was going to ask you, what kind of advice would you give them to stay in the game and stay relevant? And you was already touching on it.
Well, I mean, you can answer that question in a million ways, but I think the best way to answer is to stay true to yourself and always try to be an important part of what we're putting together, versus you're either going to be a part of the solution or a part of the problem.
Hello.
And I think that everything in life has to have a balance. Just like there's rich people, there's poor people. And you can't just be one-dimensional with your message or your sound, or to get played out like anything else. Why we ain't saying what you talking about, Arnold? Because it's played out.
Right. Let me ask you this, Two Fingers. In the age of technology, how are you feeling about the integration of technology into the hip-hop game, into the music game?
I think technology breeds access. You know, the world is better controlled when it's separated. But what technology has been able to do is bring the world together on a more intimate level, so that we can communicate with people on the other side of the world, so we can have an opportunity to look into the window of another society and another culture, and not be so closed-minded thinking that we're in this by ourselves. So technology breeds a larger audience, and it breeds access to the world. So I'm all for it.
That's what's up. It's crazy you said it that way, because that was one of the main reasons why we built Bay Life Radio, because it seemed like we connect with people on the other side of the world a lot more than like right here around the corner, and it's a doper connection because you get to see in their hood just like they get to see in our hood.
Right. Shout out to Oakland
for sure. Much love. That's what's up, man. I talk about this all day. What's up with the you got any videos or new songs coming out? How can the people get a hold of some of your music?
Well, right now I'm allowing my music to be promoted through this company called G-Unitas Management. So I think on Instagram they have Sovereign Kings. If you look up Sovereign Kings on Instagram, which is funny. I thought we were going to do a live interview on Instagram, but it's cool that we're doing a radio thing. This brings you back into the days of going in them stations and doing those interviews. But I'm also, if you look up Thingaman on YouTube, I haven't really put out anything. I've just been kind of storing, you know, it's almost like a squirrel storing up his nuts for the winter. I haven't really been putting out anything as far as other than just featuring with other artists. I mean, if you look up Joaquin the Hooligan, I featured on some of his songs. But Thingaman as an artist, that's Fingumaan. That's what I used to go to prior to Tony Two Fingers, but it at least link you to, even if you look up DBG, there's some stuff on there that will link to my stuff that I did in the last 5 or 6 years. But I'm excited about doing this new project. I mean, it took the right people talking the right stuff to get me to even get back into the studio, because I really didn't feel like I had anything to prove, which that's not why I'm doing it anyway. I found out that legacy is important. And there's a difference between fantasy and legacy. Fantasy only lasts a short amount of time. Legacies last a lifetime.
Right.
I wanted my, you know, so since I got the ability and still the skill set and actually getting better at it, why not utilize it so that my grandkids and great-grandkids can have something to listen to from just a solo perspective? Because I, other than that, I will remain a shadow in the DBGs, and that's okay with me too. I'm proud of the DBGs' work, but me as an individual, I still have something that I can contribute, and that's the only thing that's keeping me even interested in getting back into this music field. The only reason I agreed to do this interview is because I'm in that mode right now. Other than that, I would have just passed on it, and you know. Thank you guys for the look on Instagram. But yeah, they got my Instagram page. If you just want to know what's going on with me personally, it's Tony Two Fingers on Instagram. So just check me out.
That's what's up. You know, timing is a mug. I'm glad we got a chance to link with you. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Jeff Kwan. He always linking us up with the iconic entertainers such as yourself. And just to drop your gem, man, your piece of history, your piece of the legacy, you know what I'm saying? That's much appreciated.
Well, thank you for playing Bang Bang Boogie. That was our number one record on the West Coast and all over the world. It reached top 40 in billboards and all that good stuff. So, man, that's what's up.
For sure, for sure. They about to give me the red light, Tone. Before we get out of here, anybody you want to give shouts out to say what's up to?
Shouts out again to Joaquin the Hooligan. I know he one of the ones that's probably listening to this interview. All of my brothers. Definitely my compadres, Ritler and Sniper from the group, the DBG. Thanks to MC Hammer. Thanks to his brother, Louis Burrell, for believing in us and having the tenacity to work with the group from Detroit. And shouts out to Oakland and the Detroit connection, man. We got love for you guys, and stay tuned. We got some more stuff coming.
For sure. That's what's up. I want to say shouts out to Jeff Kwan, Body Pound Media, One World Magazine, Square Vision, for linking us together, man. And definitely shouts out to Detroit. Much love. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to keep in contact with you, man, and see how things going. And matter of fact, on the way out the door, we're going to play that Bang Bang Boogie loud. I know y'all been hearing it in the background, but we're going to turn it up.
If it's a way to replay this interview, I'd like you to link that to me, man. Let me know so I can let other people hear it.
Oh, it's all good. Jeff Kwan, I send it to you as soon as we done.
I appreciate it, my brother. Y'all have a great day out in the West Coast, man, and stay up.
For sure, for sure. Tony Two Fingers. Much love to the DBGs. Hey, check this out. This that Bang Bang Boogie. Uh-huh. Live on BangLifeRadio.com.
Bang Bang Boogie, wait, Boogie, Bang Bang Boogie, Bang Bang. The Bang Bang Boogie Boogie. bring it, cause daddy wasn't home, cause daddy's long gone. Daddy got shot when I was only 9 years old. So I'm left in the cold with my mama and my little baby brother. We all shared the same cover in a two-family flat as we listen to the roaches and the rats as they rumble through the garbage in the back of my mind. I wanna cry, why did daddy die? Why do people die? Why did daddy have to die? So I try to be a good example to my younger brother and try to be the son that my mother always wanted. I tried to be a dope dealer, but I'd rather rob another dope dealer to make my money quicker. But just when I was stealing them things, I heard a gun cock, a gunshot, I'm caught.
Much love from the DBGs. Bang, bang, boogie.